Well, it's been a campaign with a difference, at least according to some people watching it closely. Dr. Andy Marks is a political scientist and an assistant vice-chancellor at Western Sydney University.
This state election campaign is bucking all of the traditional trends of campaign politics in the sense that the messages that used to be a sure bet with the electorate aren't finding the cut-through that they once did. The Berejiklian government has an incredibly strong record economically. They have low trending unemployment. They've got about $80 billion worth of infrastructure projects on the books, yet they find themselves in a very, very close race with a Labor candidate in Michael Daly, their leader, that is relatively new on the scene and relatively unknown. So it's a tight contest that really is defying the traditional rules of politics.
So why do you think these conventions aren't working this time? Why would people begin to question, you know, an ordinarily strong narrative of solid economic management and sustained growth?
I think it's actually humble New South Wales is feeling the first elements of a global trend, really, which is people are questioning the trickle-down philosophy, if you like, of Western liberal democracies, that the notion that if you have sustained economic growth, that the benefit will flow through to all sections of society isn't really, for many people in the electorate, coming true. And so they are starting to question those long-standing narratives, and you're starting to see a push globally away from the centrist politics that the major parties put forward.
So, I mean, you mentioned it's a global trend, but that was my next question. Do you think this is something we're likely to see in the federal election too, these changing narratives?
I think we will. The federal election brings its own malaise around leadership and instability. And of course, both sides have experienced that. It's almost cyclical now. And so that will play a considerable role. And of course, the coalition will be up against it in that context. But New South Wales is interesting, though, I think, because it's the first point, I think, in Australia where we'll see it played out at a major election.
There's no doubt that one word probably comes to mind for a lot of people when it comes to this election, and that's stadiums. We're talking about a $729 million rebuild of a stadium, which is, of course, a lot of money, but not necessarily in comparison to the billions of dollars spent on other infrastructure projects. So why has this become such a huge issue in New South Wales?
I think it's the symbolism of the stadium's issue that is having that play with the electorate. Labor have been very opportune in the sense that they were able to pick up on the emblematic nature of the stadiums as being something symbolising waste in infrastructure investment. And really, in flipping the priority in their campaign messaging, so they've gone out with a line that they want schools and hospitals before stadiums, they've actually said, well, we need to ensure that this infrastructure is benefiting people in the areas that they care about and the areas that affect their daily lives.
But that's not to say that the coalition's ignoring things like health and education, though, is it? I mean, they've got their own policies in those areas as well. Don't you think that voters would understand that?
Oh, you're right. So the spend that, for example, that the coalition have made in hospitals in Greater Sydney alone is really without peer. So they are investing quite a lot in redevelopment and in improving those services on the ground. The same goes for schools. But what I think Labor's play is that it's the priority of that spending so that, you know, projects like WestConnex, for example, and the light rail project, a lot of transport infrastructure projects in the airport in Western Sydney have been occupying the government's narrative and really are at the top of their priority.
This is also an election, though, where rural electorates could play a significant role in the result. Do you think the stadium issue really resonates with people outside Sydney?
I don't think the stadium's issue itself resonates, but I think the fact that it illustrates in the minds of many rural voters that government's eye is off the ball on rural issues is significant. You know, a lot of this negative sentiment that we're seeing in rural electorates towards the coalition is centred on issues like the fish kill and the drought and perceptions of water mismanagement. But having the headlines occupied by the stadiums is confirmation for them that the Nationals, for example, may have lost touch with the concerns they're experiencing.
And then it comes to the prediction for tonight. As you mentioned, there are these changing narratives, but in the wake of the final debate this week, Michael Daly made headlines for struggling with questions about education and TAFE spending. What's your prediction for tonight then? Do you think it will be close?
Look, that was a very big stumble. And time moves very fast in campaign politics from day to day. You know, it is a question of who can actually win the last 24 hours. Michael Daly suffered some significant blows in that last debate. Not being able to recall basic funding details is a political sin that nobody should fall for. I think that he'll be looking to recover, and certainly as we look in towards tonight's result, he'll be hoping that hasn't dented his campaign too much. I think that it's a big ask for a new leader in a party that was really swept from office only two terms ago in a record defeat. It's a big ask for them to pick up the 13 seats required to win a majority. So I do think the coalition will likely hold on in a minority government, but they're going to have to deal and they will have to engage with the miners and independents to form a workable majority on the floor. The upper house or the Legislative Council is where it will get very interesting. You'll have a very expanded crossbench featuring One Nation, Shooters and Fishers, all with a lot more sway.
Political scientist Dr. Andy Marks.